vacation on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah the Almighty. Salamun alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Thursday, is the 19th of Rabiu Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 25th of November 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We choose chapter Al-Ankabut, verses 1 to 3 to listen to.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألف لام ميم.
ألف لام ميم.
أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون.
Do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Trial is for proving the intrinsic intentions and qualities of a person to be true. In other words, this world is like a university or a farm. In a university, the talents open to below. The competencies grow, and whatever is in a stage of potentiality reaches the stage of actuality. In this farm, the seeds must be planted. The shoots and sprouts must come out of their inside. These sprouts come out from the land, grow to be some small plants, and finally become some tall, fruitful trees. These things are not possible without experience and examination.
Heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so.
Courage and bravery in Islam, we're talking about. Fear and timid people hide themselves in corners like birds retreating cold season. They do not undertake any task for fear of their opponents. Such people neither become reputable nor can they bring any change in their life. At the most, they can remain in their original condition. But courageous people first realize the importance of their aim, ponder over every side of the matter, weigh probable profit or loss, prepare a program, and then begin their job without caring for anything. Here, there is a difference between haughtiness and madness and courage. Careless people jump in without pondering over related matters. They do not keep an eye on their benefit or loss. Even if they prepare a program, wise people do not appreciate it. Such people are deceived by their strength, and they take undue pride in themselves. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. At the same time, we find that those people who are brave, they are careful to take the right decision at the right time in order to fulfill the promises. Okay, those people who are morally well-trained people, and they are and they know that being a good religious personality has many requirements, and one of those requirements is the fulfilling one's promises. So fulfilling one's promises without breaching them and without any taking any detour in order to escape the promises is one of the important things and important qualifications that brave people have or are expected to have. Another one is that brave people usually practice being brave. Okay, this braveness cannot come and go just only once or twice throughout one's lifetime. Rather, in certain situations, we find that the context is such that everybody may be examined, may be tested to have whether he or she may have the right and required level of braveness.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Among the different kinds of courage, we reach to spiritual courage. Spiritual courage is the courage to face up to spiritual questions that may be uncomfortable, a threat to your own identity as a spiritual person, or undermine your own spiritual beliefs. It is similar to intellectual courage. However, where intellectual courage is the willingness to address issues of logic and information, spiritual courage ventures into philosophical questions that are often unanswerable. We learn about tips to liberate ourselves from fear, creating a contingency plan. Accepting Allah's qadar does not mean that you should become careless. You should accept His qadar, but still look both ways before crossing a busy street. These things are not mutually exclusive. Instead, the instinct for self-preservation is one of the things that Allah has given you to protect yourself. Creating a contingency plan is a little like doing your chores. Once you get these mundane things out of the way, you can go ahead and enjoy yourself. Continuing to be fearful after you have prepared yourself as much as possible is a sign that one of two things is wrong. Either you haven't organized your chores, or you have an unrealistic view of your own powers. Organize your chores by making a list. Write down everything related to protecting yourself that you feel you can control. Developing a realistic view of your own powers is possible through prayer, reading the Holy Quran, staying in touch with other Muslims, or simply paying attention to the examples around you. Pay attention to nature. Watch the sunrise. Feed the squirrels and notice how life marches on no matter what we humans do.
I have this whole theory as to how, after the Second World War, when human beings killed each other in large numbers, and those who survived began reproducing in large numbers, i.e. the baby boomer generation, and these baby boomers had to fight for survival. They were not given the personal attention from parents. They led lives that were largely insecure. They became materialistic. They had to fight for survival. They became more egoically driven. They became more wasteful in resources. And you know, you can see that a lot in that generation, which would be like my parents' generation, right? So those who are in their 60s and above. And then the issue that a lot of us came to this country as immigrants from countries where the rulers were repressive and oppressive. You know, in the places we came from, you can't just walk up to a police officer and talk to him like a friend or laugh with and shake hands with him, right? You're just not used to that idea, or that if you go to court, you're going to get any justice, right? Or that you have any kind of right. For those of you who are born here, it comes to you naturally. For us, it's like, wow, I can actually say what I want. And I'm not worried somebody's going to come pick me up in the middle of the night and I'll just disappear. Or I'll be put in prison or I'll get tortured, right? So there are many, many reasons why we find that in the society we live in today, we don't as a community have the people with the courage to be able to stand up for truth in large numbers and be ready for the imam when he returns. And I believe that the future generation that will come after might be able to raise this sort of a generation, provided our scholars and our leaders and we as a group begin to recognize the importance of justice and courage. The hallmark of today's world is individualism. It's about my needs, my desires, my goals, my happiness. Anyone who stands in my way, I will curse him, I will fight him, I will divorce him, I will get rid of him, I will kill him, but it's all about me and more about I. Karbala is largely remembered for justice because in Karbala we see all the opposites of this. We see selflessness, we see courage, we see patience. It was concern for the greater good. When we realize the value of justice and courage and freedom, we're then willing to even give it up and sacrifice for it. And that is why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam says, "Hayhat min azillah," that I will not live a life of humiliation.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode. Fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and he's never been so far away, some might say. How could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. And every tear that is wet, he is there.
Food for thought.
So, dear friends, and how about listening to a gem of an advice from the model of magnanimity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. When you gain power over your adversary, pardon him by way of thanks for being able to overpower him.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned many times before, that in this material realm, there are signs, there are indicators, there are things that point towards a particular matter. Especially when it comes to ethical matters, when it comes to akhlaqi things, when it comes to, for example, you know, the inner dealings of a person. Because it's very easy for someone to say that, oh, I am like this and I am like that. But when it comes, as they say, when push comes to shove, we understand that this person has nothing to do with it. For example, a person may claim that they are brave and they are courageous, You know, and they'll boast about it, they'll show off, they might even have the skills to go with it. But when it comes into a moment where that needs to be shown, and we see this person fleeing, this person trembling, we say that you've just made a claim. You know, you've not backed up what you are saying. And this goes with many of the things that occur in this material realm. And one of those things for us, especially as the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, is our love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. That at certain moments, you know, it is easy for us to show that love. There are certain moments where we know we manifest that love, but at certain moments where that love within us is shown, there's a different matter. So in this tradition from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, one of those indicators is mentioned and told to one of the companions of the Imam alayhi salam by the name of Fudail. It's a very beautiful tradition. This tradition that we should try and implement in our life, test ourselves with this tradition from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. So the Imam says, Ya Fudail, O Fudail, that if a person mentions us, so he mentions us, he speaks about us. Or, for example, if we are mentioned in the presence of a person. So the Imam mentions both, that if a person speaks about us, or he is in a particular gathering where our mention is being made of. And in those particular places, these two places, if a tear, because of the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, falls from his eyes, the size of the fly, rather the size of the wing of a fly, right? So that's all, a tiny drop of tear. Like it just begins, you know, to start crying, and then he stops himself, oh, there's nothing else coming, but there's a forming of a tear at the tip of one's eye, at the bottom of one's eye. The Imam then says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of this person, even if the sins of that person is more than the bottom and the size of the bottom of the ocean. This is the beauty and the sign of true love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have that love of the Ahlul Bayt. When their names are mentioned, when their stories are told, the tears begin to form with our eyes, inshallah, because of the love that we have for this great and pious family. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to you, all of the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze and talk about that recitation. And beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. We're going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna. Ahmad Nu'ayna was born in 1954 in Egypt. He managed to memorize the entire Quran when he was under the age of 8. He studied medicine in Alexandria University and after graduation worked at the same hospital of the same university. At the beginning, Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna was influenced by Sheikh Amin Halali's recitations. And then he got familiar with reciters such as Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, Mahmud Khalil al-Husari, Abu al-Aynain Shu'aysha, Mustafa Ismail, and Muhammad Rifat. He's one of the best Quran reciters in the world, and some people consider some of his recitations as incredible feats. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Insan, verses 8 to 11, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا رحمن الرحيم
ويطعمون الطعام على حبه
عليهم سلام الله
على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله
إنا نخاف من ربنا قمطريرا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم صدق الله العلي العظيم
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 8 to 11 of Suratul Insan, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna's recitations are actually, his style of recitation is mostly influenced by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. In fact, he was a student of Mustafa Ismail, and he used to accompany Sheikh Mustafa Ismail when he was he would travel to different places. He would be on a trip, for example, and he would accompany Mustafa Ismail, and that's how much he was fond of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And his style is closest to Sheikh Mustafa Ismail compared to other Egyptian reciters, and especially his ada, the way that he articulates the letters and the way that he uses vocal techniques, they are so similar to Sheikh Mustafa Ismail's style of recitation. Okay, let's begin with the tajweed points of the recited verses. وَيُطَعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ وَيُطَعِمُونَ. We have a ta, okay, with a sukun. First of all, we know that ta is a letter of istirla. All the letters of istirla should be pronounced with tafkhim. However, we said that the levels of tafkhim are different. They're not the same. It depends on the vowel or if it has a sukun. If it has a sukun, you have to pronounce the letter of istirla with the second lowest level of tafkhim. In order to do this, you pronounce the letter of istirla without changing the shape of the lips. The lips should be in a neutral position.
Yes.
Okay, whenever you pronounce a letter of istirla with a kasra, the lips
should be a bit spread.
And also, they should go downward, the lower lip. E, when you say E, kasra in fact means to break something. When you want to break something, you drop it. Right?
Yes.
We have a dropping of the lower lip when pronouncing kasra or ya'ul mad. So if you pronounce a letter of istirla with a kasra, with the dropping of the lips, automatically you would have the lowest level of tafkhim. But if you pronounce a letter of istirla with the lips in a neutral position, you would have the second lowest level of tafkhim, just like in this word, وَيُطَعِمُونَ. You don't say وَيُطَعِمُونَ, you don't purse the lips. And you don't open the mouth vertically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the lips are in a neutral position. But then we have وَيُطَعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ طَ. Then we have the second highest level because we have a fatha
above the.
Yes. And to pronounce طَ at the second highest level, the mouth should be slightly open vertically.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as whenever you have and aliful mad after a letter of istirla. So وَيُطَعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ طَ طَ. You don't say طَ طَعَام طَعَام. Okay. عَلَى حُبِّهِ حُبِّهِ. We have إِشْبَاعَ of هَاءُ الضَّمِيرِ.
حُبِّهِ becomes حُبِّهِ
because, you know, whenever you have a هَاءُ الضَّمِيرِ, the third person masculine pronoun, at the end of, and it's a conjunct pronoun.
Yes.
And it comes at the end of words. Whenever you have this kind of pronoun, if it's preceded by a letter with a haraka, with a short vowel, you have to pronounce the ha with met. You have to do ishbar. And if it's preceded by fatha or kasra, you pronounce the ha with a ya'ul met. If it's preceded by a dhamma, you pronounce it with a wawul mad. But if it's preceded by a long vowel, do you still apply ishbar?
No.
No. You if pronounce it's pronounced it with the same by
short vowel.
Like a short vowel. For example, fihi. Fihi. You don't pronounce it with ishbar. Of course, there's one place in the Quran which you have to pronounce fihi with ishbar.
That's an exception.
That's an exception, and that's only in Surah Al-Furqan. And all the other meds, if the Ha'ud Dhamir is preceded by med, you have to pronounce it without ishbah.
Mm-hmm. Or a second letter.
Or a second letter, exactly. Minhu, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go on to the next verse. Inna nakhafu. We have kha, letter of istila again, mm-hmm. at the highest level of tafkhim. Okay, so how do we do this? We open the mouth vertically with the raising of the root of the tongue. Of course, for all the tafkhims, you have to raise the root of the tongue and sometimes the back of the tongue if the letter has itbaq.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have more tafkhim if a letter has itbaq. On the five, the four letters of itbaq are sad, lad, ta, and la. And ta has the highest level of itbaq. Inna nakhafu min rabbina.
So kha was pronounced with the highest level.
With the highest level of tafkhim because of the aliful mad. Min rabbina. We have idgham of nun sakina into the letter ra, which has there's no gunna. This is bila gunna. Mir rabbina.
We ignore nun.
Yes, we have tashdid of the ra,
mm-hmm.
but there's no gunna.
Yes,
the two letters lam and ra, among the six letters of yarmalun, should not be pronounced with a gunna when idgham of nun sakina takes place into them. Rabbina yawman abusa. We have izhar of tanween
because we have an ayn,
a letter of the throat after the tanween. So we have to pronounce the nun sakina
completely,
fully. Yes, completely.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
If you ask me why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid. Well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Tawi.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. This program, Islamic Laws, we're going to talk about some of the laws related to the Muslims living in the West or in non-Islamic countries, according to Ayatollah Sistani. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography, and we'll be back.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the laws of Muslims living in the West, according to Ayatollah Sistani, let me ask you this question. You know, it happens so often that, you know, if you're living in the West, you can see a lot of people keeping dogs at home in your, for example, apartment houses. All right?
Yeah.
Is it permissible to for a Muslim to keep a dog too, first of all?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it is permissible to keep a dog for certain purposes, like if you have a farm which needs to be protected, and or maybe if you have a house which must be protected, a property.
Mm-hmm.
So you can keep a dog for the protection of the of your property. But if you want to keep it in your house just for entertainment and just to enjoy yourselves, to enjoy the company of a dog in your house, you should remember that dogs are ritually impure, and you cannot take the dog inside your house and live with it, because dogs are ritually and essentially impure. Dogs and pigs, okay?
Yes.
These two animals are essentially impure. Essentially impure means that they are like human feces, and just as you know, as blood is essentially impure, dog is also essentially impure, pig is also essentially impure. And if a dog is wet and it comes in contact with anything in your house, that thing will be made impure. And also there is another problem: if a dog hair is on your skin or on your clothes, your prayer will be made void.
Yes.
And you cannot continue with the prayer. If you find out that there is a dog hair on your skin or on your clothes.
But I guess that is true also with, or the case with a cat. Like, you know,
yeah.
If the hair of a cat is on one of your clothes, then your prayer would be invalid, isn't it?
And the case is, the same is the case with almost every animal whose meat is haram to eat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it may be pure, like for example, cats are pure,
yes.
Okay? If it, for example, drinks milk,
mm-hmm.
you can drink the remainder of the milk.
Yes.
But Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that if there are 2 strands of cat hair or 3 strands of cat hair,
yes.
your prayer will still remain valid. It is a fatwa which is different from the fatwa of other religious authorities, because other religious authorities unanimously agree that cat hair or
mm-hmm.
maybe other animal, the hair of other animals whose meat is haram to
mm-hmm.
eat, make the prayer invalid. If you find it on your clothes and if you see it on your body, you should remove it, otherwise your prayer will be void. But Ayatollah Sistani says if there are more than 3 strands of hair, then it will make your prayer void. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to break your prayer, or you don't have to remove it.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, if you agree, let's take a short break and we'll be back.
Sure.
Stay with us. Don't go away.
The Office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, and my dear guest in the studio, Sheikh Javid. We are talking about some of the laws related to the Muslim migrants or residents in the West, according to Ayatollah Sistani. Sheikh Javid, before the break, I asked you a question about keeping a dog. What if a dog licks my body or a part of the clothes I'm wearing? How shall I purify it?
First of all, we have to know that if a dog licks, for example, our clothes, our clothes become najis.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in order to purify our clothes, we have to wash it. Of course, to wash it, we need to use, let's say, cool water or little water. If we use cool water, then it's necessary to wash it once. It's not necessary to wash it twice. But if we use little water, which is called qalil water,
mm-hmm.
then we can wash it once, and then we have to wring it, okay?
Yes.
We have to squeeze it to make the remaining water, the water remaining inside the cloth, to flow off, okay?
Yes.
And that's what we should do. As for cool water, we don't need to squeeze the dress
mm-hmm.
or the cloth. We just need to wash it once, and the cloth will be pure. Will be pure.
Yes.
But if
how about
use
running water?
Yeah, running water is the same as cool water.
Yes.
It's a much stronger purifying agent as
yes.
compared to cool water.
So you just wash it, rinse it, that's it.
Yeah, rinsing. Washing once is sufficient.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes.
Even if you wash it with qalil water, but you have to do what? You have to wring it if uh-huh. you are using little water.
Yes.
You have to wring it or squeeze it.
How many times?
Once. Uh-huh. Only once.
Okay.
Squeeze it so that the water inside the cloth flows off.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay. Since that I asked you about keeping a dog, let me ask you another question about keeping a rabbit as a pet. Is it, first of all, permissible for a Muslim to keep a rabbit in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Does his hair invalidate the prayer? How about his meat?
Mm-hmm.
Is the rabbit meat eatable? Or halal?
That's a very good question, because a lot of Muslims, you know, Muslims other than Shias,
mm-hmm.
you know, Sunni Muslims, the majority Sunni,
yes.
Sunni Muslims, of course, believe that rabbit meat is halal. But Shia Muslims, of course, believe that rabbit meat is haram. It's is absolutely forbidden to eat rabbit meat.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to keeping a rabbit, there's no problem. There's no problem to keep a rabbit in your house as a pet. Okay. It is permissible. And when it comes to the rabbit hair, of course, it's the same as cat hair. Just as a cat hair or a dog hair or a wolf hair or a jackal hair can make your prayer white, the same is the case with a rabbit hair. The rabbit hair should be removed. And of course, when it as I said, when it comes to cats, more than 3 strands of cat hair will make your prayer white. But that's not the case with rabbit hair.
So
if you find rabbit hair, you should remove it, even if there's 1 strand of rabbit hair on your cloth.
Uh-huh.
So you have to remove it to make sure that your prayer is valid.
I see. Okay. Sheikh Javid, Sunni Muslims, as you rightly mentioned in the answer to the previous question, they also eat fish of almost all kinds and categories.
Yeah.
All right, and they eat, for example, lobster, oysters, and crabs. Are these things halal to eat?
Well, as you rightly mentioned, of course, Sunni Muslims eat and consume lobsters and crabs and such animal
mm-hmm.
seafoods,
yes.
which are found in the sea and which are obtained from the sea, of course. But according to Ayatollah Sistani, we cannot eat fish that do not have scales.
Yes.
And based on the riwayat, which are many and which are found in our sources, we are allowed to eat only those seafoods and those sea creatures which have scales, like fish that have scales. And with the exception of shrimps and prawns, which are halal according to Ayatollah Sistani and also according to other religious authorities,
mm-hmm.
you know,
they don't have scales.
They don't have scales, and they are not. They do not. They cannot be put in the category of fish.
Mm-hmm.
They are different species of. They are different creatures, of course, but you know, shrimps or prawns are permissible according to the religious authorities.
What about crabs?
Crabs are forbidden, lobsters are forbidden, oysters are forbidden, and the sauce which is made from these things,
mm-hmm.
oyster sauce, for example, is forbidden according mm-hmm. to Ayatollah Sistani. So it's not permissible to eat any of the things you mentioned, lobster, oysters, and crabs.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanur Rahim, Mannan Karim, Sahib.